Fazal was arrested on charges of publishing an article on his website that Amman claims is harmful to the monarchy. Reports say dozens of people have been killed and scores more wounded in central Syria. Activists say security forces opened fire on protesters and Hamas, killing 34. They say tens of thousands of people marched in the city to demand reforms. Protest rallies have also been reported from other Syrian cities. Opposition groups and activists say over 20 people have been killed in Raslan over the past few days. Hundreds have been killed in months of unrest in Syria. The opposition accuses the security forces of being behind the killings, but Damascus rejects the claim and blames the deaths on armed gangs backed by foreign powers. An anti-regime protester, Salman Abu Idris, has been beaten to death by the regime forces in Bahrain. This less than 24 hours after the killing of a woman protester by Saudi-backed regime forces. Mourning has been observed for her across the Persian Gulf Sheikhdom. Some mourners have also been attacked. Abu Idris was arrested along with hundreds of others during anti-regime protests a few months ago. The activists say he had been brutally beaten and died in hospital of his injuries. Meanwhile, protests continue in villages and towns across the Persian Gulf Sheikhdom. Protesters say that they want to march to Pearl Square in the heart of Manama. They also say that a large concentration of regime forces have besieged the capital. In the U.S., the House of Representatives has once again stopped short of calling on President Barack Obama to end America's involvement in the Libya war. 78 days after U.S. forces began bombing Libya, House Representatives have passed a resolution calling for a detailed report from the White House. The non-binding resolution also requests that the Obama administration provide information about its political and military objectives regarding Libya. Congress earlier rejected a separate resolution by anti-war Democrat Dennis Kucinich. His resolution called for an immediate end to American involvement in Libya. He insisted that the U.S. Constitution only grants Congress the power to declare war and not the president. The U.S. Constitution says the president has a 60-day deadline to get congressional approval of military action. Grad rockets launched by pro-Gaddafi forces are continuing to fall on the eastern Libyan town of Ajdabiya. The town saw some of the worst fighting at the start of the revolution, and life has yet to return to normal. Here's more on that from Ajdabiya.
The road to Ajdabiya is littered with the remains of tanks that were destroyed by NATO warplanes in March as pro-Gaddafi forces advanced towards Benghazi. Ajdabiya itself experienced some of the worst fighting during the revolution. Thousands are thought to have been killed or injured here. Around 80% of the population fled to other areas. And although many have since returned, the place still resembles a ghost town. The local hospital is one of the few institutions that's still functioning in Ajdabiya, but it's desperately short of staff, medicines and equipment.
This hospital was under siege for 11 days. During the fighting, most people had head or chest wounds, but we didn't have any equipment to help them. There weren't any doctors here. Now things are a bit better, but Gaddafi's men still fire Grad rockets at us.
Behind me is the road to Brega and Ras Lanuf, where a lot of the intense fighting has taken place. This is the last checkpoint, and journalists aren't allowed past this point. But we just heard this morning that several Grad rockets had been fired from somewhere behind me into the town of Ajdabiya. They have a range of about 20 kilometers. That means that pro-Gaddafi forces must be quite close. In the town center, men sit around with nothing to do, as there are almost no jobs anymore. A makeshift market has sprung up. It's not exactly a shopper's paradise, but it's got enough produce for people to get by on.
Thank God, things are getting better step by step. For example, you can find vegetables now in the market, but when Gaddafi forces fire rockets, people get scared and leave the city.
The situation is better now. Shops are open and there are clothes, oil and all the things we need in the shops. We feel comfortable. And it's a matter of just a few days before Gaddafi leaves power.
But we're soon shown a somber reminder of how bad things got in Ashabia. This house suffered a direct hit by one of Gaddafi's Grad rockets. Luckily, its owners weren't there at the time, having fled the fighting. And with Libya's war dragging on amid a political and military stalemate, life in Ajdabiya shows no signs of returning to normal. Roshan Mohammed Saleh, Press TV, Ajdabiya, Libya.
Cairo's Friday prayer leader Jamaluddin Qutb says Muslims should join hands to confront Israel. Sheikh Qutb made the comment at Tehran's Friday prayers. He is in Iran to attend ceremonies marking the anniversary of the passing of Islamic Republic's founder, Imam Khomeini. The senior Egyptian cleric said it was a pity that despite the existence of 54 Islamic states, Muslims are still suffering from Israeli oppression. Jamaluddin Qutb said Iranians defeated the ruling tyranny on February the 11th, 1979. 33 years later, Egyptians won their revolution on February the 11th, 2011. He termed this an auspicious coincidence. An international congress on Islamic awakening and regional developments has been held in Tehran with a special focus on the late Imam Khomeini and his legacy. Our correspondent has the details.
The virtual face of Islamic culture, a charismatic leader of immense popularity, and the champion of Islamic awakening and unity. That was just some of the descriptions that the speakers and the delegates gave to the late Imam Khomeini at the International Congress on Imam Khomeini, Islamic Awakening and Regional Developments in Tehran. Former Bosnian ambassador to Pakistan, Abdullah Hadzic, said the driving force behind the new wave of Islamic awakening in the Arab world stems from the Islamic Revolution and three decades of Iranian resistance and leadership.
I see that Muslims are becoming aware of their situation and that they want to go ahead, to get advanced, to get progressed in all fields of life, and this is very good, of course.
The first speaker of the Congress, Fatemeh Tabatabai, an Iranian university scholar, said Imam Khomeini had a dream that one day Iran's Islamic revolution would engulf the rest of the Muslim world. She said, however, that this had nothing to do with occupying other nations. Rather, this was all about Islamic awakening among nations and governments.
Just a year ago, it was unimaginable to even talk about Islamic awakening. Now it has become a reality in the Middle East and North Africa, just as predicted by Imam Khomeini almost three decades ago. Another speaker, Ali Raya from Lebanon, said Muslim nations and freedom fighters, especially those in Lebanon and Palestine, regard Iran as their pioneer. Raya made similarities between the Iranian Revolution of 1979 and the current developments in North Africa and the Middle East. He acknowledged that the Arab revolutionaries look up to Iran as their role model. Kadir Akaras, the Secretary General of the Shia Clerics Union in Turkey, told Press TV that Imam Khomeini and his practical teaching focus on the importance of religion to social and political issues of the day.
We came here to pay tribute to Imam Khomeini because we owe our Islamic awakening to his teaching and leadership. He revived the Islamic culture and civilization. He also warned against the dangers posed by the hegemonic powers.
At the end of the gathering, the participants agreed that the U.S. and its allies would try to control and hijack the popular uprisings. They also warned that the West would try to stoke civil wars as a last ditch to hold back the current wave of Islamic awakening and unity, a watershed Islamic history that Imam Khomeini saw it coming more than three decades ago. Ammar Naderi, Press TV, Tehran.
Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says the global arrogance has reached its end. Ahmadinejad says the U.S. government is the world's leading arrogant power and will collapse in the near future. He also said, quote, the colonizers have put on a new mask to save the ailing U.S. economy and the Zionist regime. Ahmadinejad went on to say that the Middle East will not be stable unless Israel ends its occupation of the Palestinian lands. Ahmadinejad made the remarks on the 22nd anniversary of the passing of the founder of Iran's Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini. You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Yemeni state TV airs an audio message allegedly from injured President Saleh amid rumors about his death. Demonstrators across Jordan call for an end to Amman's ties with Israel. Activists say over 30 people are killed in central Syria. The U.S. House calls on President Obama to justify the Libya war 18 days after the expiry of his war powers. And an American drone kills at least six people in Pakistan's South Waziristan tribal region.